taken a lot of my stuff. So here we're on. So yes, it is a serious matter. So in order to start out the serious night about serious prayer, I have a little video. If you guys want to roll that video and just have a little laugh for a second, and then we'll get started.
I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church, and I would walk in, and the pastor was like, he said, "I want you to pray with your neighbor." And I'm like, "Well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you mean. You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that." Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? "Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face." I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. She was like, "Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You're the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha." I'm thinking, man, she even knows his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to just, but I'm not gonna let her outpray me. So I'm like, "Okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you are good, Lord. You are good. You are good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just gotta obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because. You know, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I can fly, amen."
Amen. I had to get a funny video because it could be so serious when we come into courtroom prayer, and I thought that was just great. And it's not about your spiritual vocabulary, is it? And we're going to talk tonight about that. It's about your heart. And we're going to talk about how to prepare our hearts. And man, I just felt tonight when we were singing that song that I just was hearing that the Lord. Everybody have notes if they want notes? Yes. Way to go. That I just felt like the Lord is saying, we are going to do great exploits in His name. And someday when we look back, like, remember that Wednesday night when we felt God's presence come down and all we have to do is trust Him. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to reason it out. Well, man, I'm just so excited. And I don't know about you guys. I just feel like stirring up thankfulness in us. I mean, aren't you thankful that you have the Holy Spirit living inside you? Aren't you thankful that He has called you? He's got plans for you. I mean, man, I could go all night about that, but are you guys ready? I just want you to say, "I'm ready." "I'm ready." I'm ready. So I was just thinking about just sharing some vision of how Visible Church has called us to what God is wanting us to do. I mean, I don't know how I feel like, what if we were the only ones in Green Bay to do great exploits for Him? The only ones. How would you pray? How would you act? What if He called Sarah just to do something special through Sarah, and she was the only one? How would you pray? How would you live your life? I mean, think about that. There is a specific destiny for each of the churches in this city, but we have a specific mandate, and we have to stay single-minded with that. And, you know, God's Spirit gives us boldness. He doesn't call us to shrink back. We've been during one of the meetings with Pastor Ben, we're talking about not throwing away your confidence. Don't shrink back. That's not God's spirit, to shrink back and shy away like, oh no, they already heard that. I have a prophecy. I'm not going to tell them. They already know Jesus loves them. But maybe they're going through something where they're feeling like Jesus doesn't love them. You know, and so I just encourage you guys, when there's boldness, that's the Holy Spirit on you. He's called us to be bold. Don't back down. And I know sometimes I back down, but I have to remind myself. I have to encourage myself. No, God's called us. And it's not, it's about him, right? And his spirit and what he wants to do. So as I was preparing for this, I want to share this the story about persistent and unified prayer. It's coming up here. Are you guys excited? Have you been learning so much these last couple of weeks? I mean, I have. I mean, I honestly don't really think that we kind of, you know, when you pray and intercede and believe God for things, it kind of naturally happens, but it's never been, you know, in words clarified. And when Pastor Ben has been talking about, you know, the prayers of agreement, man, there's just some really good stuff that we have to be right with God, right? We have to seek his kingdom. And then there's that prayer of forgiveness. I love that. Do you guys remember that night? Prayer of forgiveness? Do you guys remember anything from that night? I know it totally stuck there. It's really deep and you're just trying to dig it out. but that forgiveness was releasing guilt and shame that you may have to somebody else. And remember what stuck with me? No, there's no justifiable unforgiveness. Ouch. None. When our hearts hurt and friendships and get messy and marriages and jobs and church stuff, there is no justifiable of unforgiveness ever. And sometimes we don't even realize we're in it. I mean, I remember praying a couple weeks ago, like, you know, you're praying and you're like, why am I not just feeling the Lord? And you just, not that you have to have your feelings, but you can just sense where you're connecting with God. He just told me, you need to forgive this. I was like, wow. And then there was just healing. I forgive. And it was healing. I forgive them. And every time it popped, I forgive them. Just like he forgave us so freely. He radically forgave, right? Radically, we need to do that. When they are unlovable, we need to be lovable because they're going to say, now that's Jesus, right? So here's that story as it came up. The Fulton Street prayer meeting that sparked a revival in America in 1858 began with six people. How many? Six. Can we say six? Six. Within 6 months, there were how many people do you think? How many businessmen? 20? 100? 10,000. Woo! Within 6 months, there were 10,000 businessmen gathered daily for prayer in New York City. Within 2 years, how many do you think? So we got 10,000 in the first 6 months. 1 million. 1 million converts. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer, people. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I'm going to try to communicate what God has put in my heart and what he's taught me, but sometimes it's intangible and it's hard to explain. So I'm going to do my best to explain these things. They were added to the American church, and this is quote-unquote, there has never been a revival in any country that has not begun in united prayer. What kind of prayer? United. And no revival has ever continued beyond the duration of those prayer meetings. We must prepare for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit by what? By united, persistent prayer. So we're going to talk about tonight in Acts, in the upper room, the famous, you know, where they waited for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But they were used to getting together. It wasn't just one time that they got there and it was a command to wait in the upper room. They were used to going to the temple daily. They formed relationships, were relationally minded. So they formed those relationships daily. They ate bread together, you know, the apostles. And so I think, you know, I just was feeling as I was preparing for this, I'm like, as I read what I just read, I'm like, wow, God, six people. We got six people that come into prayer meetings. Six people. Persistent, united prayer. Don't ever think that, don't ever despise those small beginnings. I mean, your prayer is powerful. You're going boldly before the throne of God. I mean, God of the universe is on our side. Like, he, once we agree with him and align with him, there's nothing we can't do. Nothing is impossible. Does he lie? Does he say, yeah, well, that Green Bay, this religious thing, that's just too hard. Sometimes we act like it. Sometimes we're like, you know, we say that we want the outpouring. We don't want to shrink back. But do we? What does your prayer life look like? Are you really desperate for his presence? Are you? Are you thirsty? Talk is cheap. Come Sunday morning, say, praise God, hallelujah. God is good, man, the presence is moving. And say that, but then, you know, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy, God. Too busy for God? I think you're too busy then. Maybe we have to rearrange priorities. I'm looking at my own life too. We need to, this is serious. This is the kingdom of God. And if we want to think like the kingdom of God, we have to think differently. When we see miracles like, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when the church prayed for Peter to get out of prison, and then Peter walked through the door like, what? No, Peter can't be walking through the door. And they were amazed. Should we really be amazed at miracles? That's the supernatural. That's the way God works. I mean, we should, because sometimes we're like, wow, that's awesome. But God's a miracle working God, prison shaking God. He set you free. That's a supernatural. So that's how he moves. And so sometimes we just need to be in God's presence and pray to get our minds with God, right? Because all we hear is just, we are to be in this world, but not of it. So what does that mean? To think like the world? We can't think like the world. We have to go all out. Either we're all in with God or we're not. And each day, our heart has to be right. Especially as intercessors and prayer warriors, we have to have this clean heart. Every day we come in to make sure our motives aren't wrong. Because sometimes our heart deceives us. Doesn't the word say that? It's really easy to have our heart deceive us. The prayers of thanks and praise that Pastor Ben was talking about, man, that was so good. I mean, anytime we have fears or anything that's not from God, be more impressed with his goodness. Those are some really good nuggets that are practical that you can walk out every day. I need a, here we go. All right, so let's get into this practice of corporate prayer. Take notes and don't take notes. Do whatever you want. The practice of, let's go in the first page of the notes. Let's just pray first. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that you're an all-consuming fire, God. So I pray, God, that you would be able to move through me as a mouthpiece, to be able to communicate the things of heaven, God. I don't want any words coming out that is not from you, God. So I pray that we would all learn something. Give us revelation of what it means to pray. Teach us how to pray, God. Show us. Show us in your word. Show us through your presence. Show us practically, God. And we just thank you in advance for what you're doing in Invisible Church. But we just want to mostly just connect with you, God. Teach us how to rest. And how to hear you better, Father. We thank you for being faithful. In Jesus' name. So tonight we're going to go over princes of corporate prayer. So we're going to go over what is corporate prayer. We're going to define that a little bit, and why corporate prayer, and when should we engage it? What's the big deal? Sometimes I think we, in the Christian world, we do a lot of things, and we don't know why we do them. You know, we've just been doing them for so long. And so we're going to go over some biblical verses of corporate prayer, of how in the Old Testament and New Testament, how they engaged in it, what that looked like, and what makes corporate prayer effective, and what are some deterrents. And so why don't we go to the first one? What is corporate prayer? Corporate prayer is praying in large numbers or in a group. It's not real complex there. If somebody would like to go to Acts 12:5-18, and when they get there, you can start reading. It would be super. Don't all go at once. No, you're good Bible readers. Should I really call on somebody?
Mm-hmm. Out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "He is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they sought him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." Then he left and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have been done with Peter.
So here you can see that, you know, the church was praying for Peter to be released from prison. And, you know, the funny part there is that they were surprised, you know, when he came through. But it was the very thing that they were believing for. So sometimes, you know, when we pray for somebody to be healed miraculously, and then when they are, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. That's amazing. But that's what you were believing for. And so God will, you know, as we believe for more things, God develops that faithfulness, you know, through different situations. I do want to take time to go through these scriptures because I want us to be able to just wrap our minds around some biblical models. So 2 Corinthians 1:11.
Granted to us through men.
And I know my translation with the Amplified says, while you join in helping us by your prayers, then thanks will be given by many persons on our behalf for the gracious gift of deliverance. So just another example of God rescuing Paul. Let's go to Joel 1:14 in the Old Testament.
Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord.
Amen. So this is where Judah's experiencing famine, loss, locusts, and this is, as we'll describe about when corporate prayer is appropriate, you know, this is that they're having a drought, you know, so just take time to meditate on these words. Consecrate a fast. This is the Lord. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders. So we're having elders. We're having leadership. We're having the people. This is what we're going to do. This is the game plan. And come to the house, Lord. Cry out in penitent pleadings. Alas for the day, for the judgment day. The Lord is at hand. And then he's giving them direction. What's going to happen? It will come upon the nation as a destruction for the Almighty. Great. Ephesians 4, 24 through 31. Oh, Acts, sorry. Did I must have said something else?
By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Praise the Lord. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul.
That is great. There's so much there. But, you know, the disciples were gathering together to help, you know, against the chief priests and the leaders as Peter and John got released from trial. And so when we go through some of those things, you know, there's a crisis that demands it or a critical situation that, you know, the church and the disciples were showing that this is an example. This is what they did. Jonah 3, 1 through 10. I can read that one. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, go to Nineveh, the great city, and declare it to the message which I am going to tell you. So Jonah went to Nineveh in accordance with the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk, about 60 miles in circumference. Then on the first day's walk, Jonah began to go through the city, and he called out and said, 40 days more remain, and then Nineveh will be overthrown. The people of Nineveh believe and trusted in God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth in penitent mourning from the greatest even to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, Jonah's message from God, he rose from his throne, took off his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in dust in repentance. He issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the kings and nobles, no man, animal, herd, or flock is to taste anything. They are not to eat or drink water. Both man and animal must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone is to call on God earnestly, forcefully, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn in compassion and relent and withdraw his burning anger and judgment so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, they turned from their wicked way. Then God had compassion and relented concerning the disaster which he declared that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." So that's awesome. That shows really their heart issue, doesn't it? Their hearts were, oh my goodness, this is God of judgment. We better do something. We better get this right. It is pricking their hearts. And so they listened. They obeyed, though, right? Isaiah 56:7. This is my favorite verse. Well, not favorite, but I like it. Amen. And I like the part that says, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Joyful in the house of prayer. I mean, so many find intercessors like, there's all the burdens of the world on them and we're interceding and yada-da-da-da. You know, you can be joyful because it's not about you. You're releasing it to God. And God meets you, and it's just about forming your heart to his. He uses all these funny circumstances and things he shows you, but it's really all masked with connecting your heart with his because he's an intimate father. Chronicles 20, verse 3 and 4. Second Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord.
Amen. Another example. I mean, as you go into, there's so many more. These are only just a couple of them. Where the Lord is just, you know, using so many peoples of corporate prayer and coming together. And that's where King Jehoshaphat defeated the enemy of Judah. By his words. Acts 6:4, this is where the disciples decide on 7 men to help apostles. So when we have a critical decision, whether in our lives or within the church and church leadership, that's another appropriate time to come together and seek God's heart and what he wants, because we can rely on our own understanding real easy. You know, we can think what is best, but we want to do what God's best. There are certain characteristics that are common to times of prayer. One, humbling yourself deeply before God. Humbling yourself deeply before God. How I see that is as sometimes we can come in and just say, okay, God, you're Lord, have your way. You know, I know you're Lord and you need to do what you need to do, but sometimes that our heart's not in it. It's about your heart. It's about your heart connecting with him and truly trusting him and truly laying it down and saying, I do trust you. I don't understand it. And sometimes we need to shut our brains off to not figure it out. Because when we figure it out, then we can say, oh, good job. You figured that one out. Why do you need God? Right? But sometimes life isn't like that. We can't figure it out, but we have to come with trust and surrender, right? These are some things that happen. Sometimes they happen in different ways. Sometimes some of them happen and sometimes they don't, like repenting for corporate sin or individual sin. Sometimes we'll have like a people group, you know, when you're interceding, that you're repenting for or standing in the gap, so to speak, of, you know, that, you know, standing in the gap for America. You know, for the things that we're taking God out of the schools, we're standing in the gap for that. People groups of whatever, you know, nationalities or different nationalities of things that have happened that haven't been great. Standing in the gap for their sin or individual sin. But, you know, honestly, we're going to talk about how to coming into prayer, into a prayer meeting, what you need to do to prepare for that, and that individual sin. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Asking God to heal cities and nations, that should be a normal flow in prayer times, you know, having God, you know, move in our cities and have him change things and our nation. Engaging in spiritual warfare against principalities over regions. That just normally happens. You don't have to do a little checklist, you know, when you're in prayer. It just happens, and you'll see some of those things happen. Sometimes people will sense some things, and we don't have to, you know, take authority over those things because he's already done it, right? He's already done everything at the cross. So we just can release his love and release his goodness for people and his plans for them, and work on their hearts, and we can pray in that fashion. Why corporate prayer? Have you ever thought about that? Well, why do we need to come together? Well, can't I just pray by myself or my wife? Or it's a big deal. I mean, yeah, the apostles did it, but I'm really not an apostle. We're all called. We're all called. We're all ministers. We're all leaders, right? We are all leaders. I mean, sometimes we need to tell ourselves, you're a minister of the gospel. You're a minister of reconciliation. Right? And so why corporate prayer? What's the big deal? And when should we engage in it? Well, corporate prayer can add a force to intercession or prayer, which can happen during times of corporate prayer. You can also sense a greater assurance of his presence during these times. When you come together, there's something that special happens, but it only happens when you come united. United. So that means moving as a single unit, single purpose, single-mindedness. And you think, I was thinking about this thing, wow, this is tough to do. This has to be supernatural because we all have had different experiences. We all process things different. Some of us are analytical. Some of us are like real casual. So that's really kind of funny to do, but it's really simple. It's really simple because we do it for one purpose, for the audience of one, right? It's just for him. And it's only his agenda, only what he wants. And sometimes we can be praying and then somebody's praying and they're like, and you can feel like envious or like, you know, it's like, hey, that's, we gotta be aware of that so we can identify it. Same thing in your walk with Christ. You've got to spend time with God. I've got to spend more time with God so that I know I can identify some things. If you're not getting with the Lord and saying, Lord, show me, why am I feeling like this? I feel like I need to capture some thoughts because I'm really anxious right now and I don't know why. He will show, that's revival. When he shows you, like, you are totally anxious, you are not casting this, and you're trying to control it. And that's revival in your own heart. Revival isn't some thing of what you think of. Like, I remember when Chris Estrada had come, and I was so believing for just God to move, and we were fasting and standing on the word, and I walked away from there like it was awesome, but in part of my heart, I had to confess to God that, man, I'm kind of disappointed. I want people to fall over, the whole crowd just fall in the room, and everybody, I mean, you know, your imaginations can just, what you think revival should be, stepping over people, laughter, chaos, pretty much chaos. Chaos in the spirit, but it's all good because it's God, right? But none of that happened. Didn't happen like I thought. So God taught me that it's not about what you think should happen, right? And so that's laying that agenda, our own agenda. You know, we can think, Trisha could come up and she probably should preach like Pastor Ben and I'll do some fun things. And, well, it's not me. I'm just going to be myself, right? Worship should be different. Our church should look this way or that way, or doing your job, or how, I mean, you could go into a million things, how a mom should look, how a husband should look, how our kids should look. And then we project all those things of what we think should, but it's not even what God wants sometimes, right? And so we just have to just settle, be at peace, right? And just come and celebrate him. Sometimes we worry about those things all week long and our own personal things. Just, I want you guys to come in on Sundays and Wednesday, just celebrate him, because he's got it. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever, he's got it all figured out. And that seems really, I don't want to say a pat answer, but he does. And sometimes he's working our hearts in the process, right? It's all about forming our hearts to be more Christ-like. You guys okay? Good, good, okay, cool. It is paramount, I don't even know how to explain this, to engage with unified, persistent. So we talked about being unified, single purpose, single-mindedness. And we can't, like, compare ourselves, like, oh, she's really praying, like, in that video. She's really praying, or God's really touching. Well, God, why isn't God touching me? And, man, just put all that stuff aside. You know, God speaks to us all very different, but it has to be persistent. Sometimes I feel like we give up before we even get started. We could be one prayer away from breakthrough. You said, yeah, God's not here. There's none of this words. It's not touching me. God doesn't really understand. And we are just one prayer away from a breakthrough. If you just would sit just a little while longer, if you just make some time. Sometimes I feel like God's waiting there and like, oh, man, she's getting ready again. And I was waiting for her. And he's like, oh, I guess she's not. Sometimes it was 10 years ago. Sometimes we say we meet with him, but sometimes it's been a long time where we felt God. Sometimes we just need to stop and just shut our brains off and just hear him, that small, still voice, whatever it is. Because I can't live without his presence. I can't. I can't. I can't do life. I can't be a good wife. I can't be a good worker. Because we're flesh, we're human. And we have a great worship service, but I'm telling you, the very next day, we leak. We leak in this world, but we're not to be of it. How do we not be of it? Prayer. It's how God does everything, doesn't he? We confess that he's Lord through prayer. We're believing and confessing that he is Lord, right? Everything. He made it that way so we can be intimate with him. He could have made it any other way, right? He's God. He could say, Troy, you want something? Great, I'm just going to give it to you. You don't need to come to me. You don't need to ask. But he loves us when we believe through impossible things, because that means his heart turns because you believed him for something bigger than yourself. Right? So what are those impossible things? Are you believing him for impossible things? Or is it kind of like, oh, just kind of get me through the day, God? Another day at the job. Go make the donuts. Sometimes it gets really mundane, doesn't it? That's where I think, I don't know who it was, Oswald Chambers, don't quote me on this podcast. But Anne wouldn't know about this. The character is built. And those simple things like moms, cleaning the toilets, taking care of your kids, putting food on the table. Husbands, going to work every day, being the provider, right? That's where God builds character. Not on the mountaintop. Mountaintops are awesome. Woohoo, right? You can feel God's presence. You can feel victory and like, man, God did it. But isn't it sometimes, I don't want to say I want to be in the valley, but in those valleys, in those deep moments where you don't know what to do, God, man, you feel God's presence. I remember when Daniel was real young, and Troy is an awesome provider and does whatever he's like looking around, does whatever it takes. He's a hard worker, and I'm so blessed by that. But when Daniel was real young, I remember he was working nights. And, you know, sometimes I felt like I was, because he was doing what he needed to as a single parent, you know, almost. But then that's where the Lord said, the Lord is my help. We so carry it, don't we? Sometimes it's the last place. It's like God's the last place. Well, I'm going to try this. This didn't work. That job didn't work. So I'm going to try applying at other places and then do this. And maybe I'll call Debbie because she's got all the connections in the city of Green Bay. And we'll just try that. Well, that didn't work. And now it's been like 6 months. And now my marriage is falling apart. Bills are backing up. Maybe I should try God. And it's real easy to do that instead of going first, right? Go first to God. Man, he is the lover of your soul. He wants you to come to him with everything. Even a hangnail. I mean, he knows every little detail. Sometimes I'm amazed. I'm like, I didn't even like speak that, God, and you like did that for me. You know? He really cares. The disciples devoted themselves to set times of daily corporate prayer. Just for a couple minutes? Probably not. Until God answered. And their mourning was a little bit different than our mourning. They put on sackcloth and they screamed. They yelled. They rent their clothes when somebody sinned against the Lord because they knew God's heart. You know, David Wilkerson had that video that I haven't listened to in a long time, but he talked about anguish, the baptism of anguish. We cry, we say that, break our heart for what breaks his, but we're not willing to do it. He's an all-consuming fire, but we don't want to get too close to the fire, right? Do you know what it feels like to feel God's heart break over something? That one lost person that's not saved and they're in their own way? Have we felt that? Have we touched even the surface of feeling God's heart? He is sick over those meth addicts out there. He is sick of children being abandoned because of addictions. They're poor and they're broken. The rich are poor and broken and ignorant, and they don't even know it. They're going to hell and they don't even know it. They're okay, right? They got a good job. They got status. They got a good car. They got comfort. They got a financial portfolio. That's where their confidence lies. Do we cry over that? When anguish? Because God, that's the reason he came. He wants everyone to come. Everyone. Don't miss his heart. Don't miss those promptings of the Holy Spirit. When he tells you to pray, you best pray. We don't have time to say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Click. We don't have time. And I felt that same thing, that Holy Spirit conviction. Like, you better call them up. You don't know if something's crazy going to happen in the world we live in. We don't have time for tomorrow. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today. Today you have breath. He's given you breath for a reason. Don't waste it. Right? Impact you. That you have an area of influence wherever you go. Build relationships. Acts 5:12. Mm-hmm. Acts 2:46. Day after day, they met in the temple area. This is the Amplified. Continuing with one mind. And breaking bread in various private homes, they were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts. Everything we do should be a praise to Him, right? Even serving the Lord, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. It's a joy. The King of Kings wants to use us in any fashion. When should we engage in it? We kind of touch some of the surface of this, and I wanted to write this out so that you in writing can go to it and know when we should engage in corporate prayer times. It's serious. I mean, I would like to have 6 days of prayer. Why not? Why do we have to have one day? Or before service? Imagine what God could do then. Could you imagine what God would do if we actually came unified, believing God, ready to press in to God's heart? It's unstoppable. Unstoppable, guys. And I don't think I've even touched the surface. We all haven't. We all could press in more. So the first way that we should engage in it is when we obey a direct command of Christ. And I'll hurry along here. I didn't realize what time it was. While being together and eating with them, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised, of which He said, "You have heard Me speak." So a direct command. It's a command, not a suggestion, right? Acts 1:14, all these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoted themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary and the mother Jesus and His brothers. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each one of them as the person of the Holy Spirit. The second one, in devotion to the mission of His church. It is the lifeblood of His church. He commanded it to be unified, to be persistent with it. It's a command. It's almost like a heartbeat. I look at prayer as a heartbeat. It's the heartbeat of the church. It's the pulse of the church. You know, when you don't have a heartbeat or you have cardiac arrest or you're in arrhythmia, something's off. And it can affect other things, right? It can affect other parts of the body, right? Sometimes we get weaker, some parts of the body get more fatigued and are more tired, and you're not running as well, right? I mean, if you are having arrhythmia and your heart's not pumping the way it should, though, that highly oxygenated blood to go through the rest of the body so it can run at optimum fuel, right? In a Ferrari, you don't put your cheap fuel. You probably put premium fuel, right? So it can run smoother and better. Same thing. Prayer is the heart and the pulse of the church, visible church, the church at large, corporately. It is the heartbeat. So when I hear of something at church saying, whatever, if it's with the kids ministry and, boy, we don't have this, or this leader is hurting, or that means like, man, that's something to me that is saying, have we prayed? Have we covered them in prayer enough? Earnestly, not just say we covered the youth, check it off. But earnestly, humbly, you know, passionately. So we've got to, it is super important to cover in prayer, because we want God to bless everything, right? We want Him to bless everything we do here, because it means nothing. We can have programs, but if we don't have the presence of God moving in our midst, it means nothing, right? During a crisis or as needed, I have to go because I can't go there, but it may be for one person or for several people or for a nation. You know, they called on God to move during wars and fighting the Amalekites and all the different tribes. There was a crisis. There was a critical situation that they needed to come together. During persecution, tangible opposition. That's not just like what we deal with in America. I think of persecution as if you're holding a Bible, you're going to get thrown in prison. You know, when a while ago when I was on a mission trip in Myanmar, we flew into Yangon, and the orphanage that we went to, the pastor used to be a judge for that country, so he had to pay off the security guards because we were bringing in Bibles and all sorts of paraphernalia, spiritual paraphernalia. And if we would have opened it, they would have opened it, we would have been in prison because Aung San Suu Kyi, she's an advocate for Yangon, and she's been in prison for 25 years in house arrest for the last 10 years. Not even religious, just speaking your own voice, to have a voice for yourself, speaking against the government because the Chinese government supports their communists. And so that's not even spiritual things. So I better really get going here. So with tangible opposition, that for revival, I really gotta hit this really quick here. Principles, these are the most important. Come prepared. Pray about your personal issues before you come. Really, 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 really important. Because if we have some unforgiveness or bitterness or hurts in our own heart, guess what? We're not hearing the way we need to. And those things are sometimes filtered through that yuckiness. And you know what? If you come, that's okay. And you got stuff going on, just find a place to get alone with the Lord, okay? When you come to the prayer meeting, ask that he'll lead you in the meeting. Mark scriptures for the Lord that the Lord brings to your mind. Bring your Bible and notebook. Be prepared. God wants to move through you. Be like a scribe, you know, and write those things down. Those are really important. So these are follow appointed leadership. Follow instructions. If you disagree, wait until later and discuss with myself or pastor. If you don't like how I say something, I wore the wrong color, I'm super sorry. You're going to have to talk to Pastor Ben about that. I don't know. No, but sometimes there's instructions. Like, we're going to just pray for each other. I feel the Spirit doing this. And follow that. And pray in the same vein that the meeting is going in. So if we're praying about salvation and people are feeling broken, don't start saying, so let's pray for politics. Let's pray for the Green Bay Packers. Stay in that same thing. And I was going to really role play what that looked like, but we don't have time for that. So follow the flow of the meeting. Don't dominate, but participate. 4, when you're inspired by the Holy Spirit to lead you into prayer, pray in the vein of the meeting. Don't change the topic. Avoid extra wordiness. Pray passionately. Pray positively. Pray specifically, pray briefly, so others have time to pray, and pray loud enough so others can hear you, so you're getting the gist to pray, 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 not gossip or bring contentions, because we are the gatekeepers for his presence, and at Visible Church Prayer, we will not be marked by having contentions of past hurts or any of that. We're going to just celebrate God's goodness. If you're new to prayer, you start with Psalms. That's such a great time that you can turn the Psalms into beautiful prayers. Be mindful of loving others. Be gracious. Be sensitive to others. They might not be where you are, a spiritual giant. They might not know all the things that you know. Okay? Come alongside them. Encourage them. You know, encourage them to pray. I would love everybody on Sunday mornings to be asking God, what can I pray? Who can I pray with? I want to have a culture of prayer here, not just at this altar. Yes, we want that. But I want to see people praying. I want, like, Stephen, the deacon, would go over and pray over people, and there would be healings and miracles. That's what I want to see. Everybody is a minister. Don't talk, don't preach, don't instruct others, don't prophesy, don't share revelation, don't interrupt prayer requests. Pray. Pray. There's times for all those. I'm not saying to not prophesy. I'm not saying to not instruct others at appropriate times, but during prayer time, it's time to pray, right? It's time to pray. God deserves that, right? And I mean, I want to experience new things. So be open to the Lord to experience something new in prayer. So I totally didn't have enough time. And oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We got to pray. If you guys need, why don't you stand with me as we close out? And if you need prayer, Troy will be available for prayer. And I will too. And so anyways, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God. I need somebody praying with me. Lord, we thank you for a spirit of thankfulness, God. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in Visible Church. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the hunger and the thirst for more of you. And I thank you for hearing us when we pray, God. And I thank you for moving in our services. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to do great and mighty things in this prayer summit, God. So we just avail ourselves and we just affirm, God, that you have your way, God. Just have your way in our hearts and have your way during every part of the service and our times together in you, God. Reconnect our hearts together. Let us be unified. Supernaturally unify us, God. And we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. See you guys on Sunday or Friday or Saturday. Oh, bless her.